Welcome to Words of Light for Today, a teaching ministry that shares godly principles while giving spiritual insight and divine revelation from the Word of God for the everydayness life brings. Be richly blessed as we join Linda Atkins.
After the first of the year, we spent a lot of time in sanctification. And just what that was and how it meant and what he means for us to receive out of it. You can't stay saved. You can't be saved and stay saved without sanctification. You're going to have to be sanctified in the way you think, the way you feel, your emotions. Everything about you is going to have to be sanctified to God. Some of the work of sanctification is done when we're born again. Others of it is a progressive work of God. So since we moved from exploring everything that we could see at the moment about sanctification and how it is supposed to function with us, we see that there are other things that are involved in being sanctified. Your vitality. We studied vitality and how vitality in the Spirit helps us stand up. Even when you physically, even mentally, don't feel like standing, that vitality out of the grace of God lifts you up. Then we've looked at faith. We've looked at patience. We've looked at joy. We've looked at the grand scheme of things that God had in his heart when he created man to start with. And then we see that a person that's sanctified is going to be reliable. If you're not reliable, who's going to be able to count on you? Reliability, you won't hold a job very long because they didn't hire you with a test that tells them how reliable you're going to be. They just, you learn somebody's reliability through relationship. Now, I can see how you answer other people. I can see how you respond in things. I can see how you get along with the group. But I can't tell how reliable you're going to be until I know you. So, reliability then is relationship. But he wants us to be reliable. If he can't count on us, when he speaks to us, if he can't count on the fact that we're going to get up and do what he says, that we'll learn what he says, that we'll hear, we'll take it into our spirit and become that we've heard. That makes you have a lasting relationship with everybody that you're involved with and with him. Heaven itself, the angels of God, you see, they don't trust us. They see a lot out of people. The angels of God, and you know what? They could care less. They're just to do one thing, what he said. That's all. They respond to the word of the Lord. So they see a lot out of us, but we need the Lord. The Lord told Moses, be careful that I've sent my angel to go with you. Be careful of him. Be careful. Do what you're told, because he can't forgive you. So you see, they see us do a lot of things that they think, stupid. I mean, would you think angels would know that word? Well, if it is a word, they know it in probably every language. I mean, all over the globe, top to the bottom, all over the globe, they've seen stupid.
But we made up our mind here that stupid is a reality. But we don't want to be stupid. Amen. I want the truth to teach me. Yeah. I want the truth to show me. The truth, my perception of the truth, will also make me reliable. We found that out last week. So, he showed me something this week, and I've come here today to share it with you. Because I think you're going to like it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 4, it says, it was by faith. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man. And God showed his approval of his gifts. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Wow. Now, the Bible records this history that Abel was the first human to offer a sacrifice to God. Not his parents, not his brothers. He was the first human. Now, it doesn't give any indication, listen, doesn't give any indication in studying this, in the history of this, that he was doing it because it was popular. He wasn't doing it because that the other children of Adam and Eve was doing it. He wasn't following some kind of common sense. Well, it just makes common sense that you do this. I mean, a lot of things we do, we say those things, those very words. Well, that, you know, that's just common sense. Well, it wasn't by common sense that Abel had been the first human to give to God a sacrifice. And how many years had that been? See, he was up big enough to raise something to give a sacrifice from. So, we see that he was not following any human reasoning. Anybody that he saw do that. So what happened? Well, when you look at it and you study it out, it looks like undoubtedly God had told Adam and Eve what he wanted. And they, in turn, told them. Told Cain, told Abel. Nobody else is mentioned at the time. But they were upgrown men. So there could have been more. But God spoke specifically to those two and told them. So they talk about, you know, they don't watch TV in their time, so they had plenty of time to sit and to talk and to rehearse what God had said to them. So he believed the instruction that he had from his parents. He believed what he heard. He believed what they had said God had said. While neither they nor Cain nor anyone else that was there with them did the same thing. Nobody did this in this instant in faith, by faith. He did this. He offered a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. Nobody there did that thing but him. And the scripture says, and he gives us an example of our own faith. So when we read this and we read about him, he was a righteous man
and God showed his approval of his gifts. So we see that the motivation then was set his motivation, set him apart from his parents and his family. Totally set him apart. Now, he heard what, listen, this is important. He heard what God had said to his parents without twisting the truth. Up until this point, everything God had said to them had been twisted. Well, God said, you know, that we are supposed to do this, and neither, we're not supposed to eat of this tree, and neither can we touch it. So he accepted what God said without twisting the truth. And you know what? What's wrong today? A lot of truth is twisted.
That's right.
It's twisted to, you know, be like what I want it to say. This is what I want this to say. And this is how I interpret what this is saying. But it's not our interpretation. It is true that perception, that truth is our perception, how deep our perception goes. If we say, God said that, and that's all that I need to know, then that truth is going to correct some things that I once thought was right, but now I know because of what he said that that's not right. And it's not wrong to be wrong. Well, I've got to keep everybody from knowing that I'm wrong because I wouldn't want them to think I was wrong. Well, you know what? If it's going to bring the truth out, it's not wrong to be wrong. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to say, I was wrong about that. This is what I once thought, but this is what I see now. Now, there was a foundation formed with Abel. Listen to me. A foundation was formed with Abel for Abel to have faith to bring this sacrifice to God, because it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Well, there had to be a foundation, because a foundation has to be formed before anything can come of it. And you know, I have seen over the years people start foundations and never build on them. And that's what happens a lot of times in Christianity. You start out with the foundation, but you never go any further than where your slab is. You never go any further. You never put walls up or a window up or a roof on. It just stays that slab. And you know what? Grass and weeds will begin to grow up through cement. It's almost impossible to think that weeds could work their way up through cement, but I've seen it. Amen. It does that. They'll come up in the middle of whole slabs. Weeds will grow on your roof. Mm-hmm. They grow on your roof. See, there are two kinds according to James, there's two kinds of faith. There's a living faith and there's a dead faith. Now, you think that James was saying, you might think, which is not right, you might think that James was saying whoever has dead faith is stupid. But in fact, a lot of people that have a dead faith or are living in a dead faith is very intellectual and very smart. Their faith just doesn't produce for them. So it doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that you really haven't heard the truth. But your faith
is not deep enough, your truth did not go deep enough, the foundation that you started in your life through truth and through the grace of God and through the saving knowledge of God, it didn't do anything for you to change, to turn that death to life, to turn that darkness to light. So though you are very intelligent, and you may be intellectually smart as far as what the Bible says, but knowing what it says and having a relationship with God that causes it to happen is another thing entirely. Cain heard the same word that Abel heard. He heard the same instruction, but it didn't register in him. It didn't go in him. And so therefore he brought a sacrifice, but God turned his back on it. Now, that was exactly what Abel did. He heard God. He pursued God. He allowed God to build a foundation in him, and it became an example. God was proud of that. His approval was on what he brought to him. This is what I want. I want a blood offering. I want a blood sacrifice. And I'm sure that Abel would have given Cain one of his animals. You give me some of your vegetables and I'll give you one of my animals for you to sacrifice to God. But you know what? Cain didn't care enough about it. He didn't care enough about it. If he don't like this, then that's just too bad. This is what I got, and if God don't like it, then you know what? Because he is God, if he don't like it, he don't like it. And you can just be on your way. And that was exactly what happened to Cain. He was made to be on his way. But this man, what he did, what he heard, how he allowed the truth to so penetrate him, was an approval from God. And listen, it's still being approved of today. Today, we can look at what he did and say, you know what? It is better to have my foundation formed by what he has said to me, and me take that and receive it by faith. By faith. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable sacrifice. So with these two general kinds of living or dead, Jesus brought out some more things about faith. He said, your faith is weak. Or he said, you have no faith. And he said to some, this is great faith. I've not seen faith like this great, not even in Israel. And you're the one with the God. Everybody else doesn't have anything to believe, but you're the one with the God. And yet I have seen no greater faith. No, not even in Israel. Wow. Now, you see the difference that you see between Cain and Abel is here's what it is. The way they received their instruction. The way they received it. You're sitting beside somebody today. Everybody in here is sitting next to somebody. And you know what? You're hearing differently than others are. Even different from the one that's sitting right next to you. Well, you know, I may hear it a little bit different because I believe it a little bit different. No, you have to believe this. You have to believe this. This is what you're getting in here. This is what's being pointed out. This is an easy red deduction that you can make from reading this and seeing this, that Cain did not hear what Abel heard. And apparently, his hearing went deeper than his parents, because neither did his parents do it. There's no indication that they ever offered a sacrifice. There's no history. There's no books. There's nothing
outside of this word that indicated that they ever offered a sacrifice. Well, they did. Now they wore the skins of animals. God made the sacrifice, people. They didn't make it. God killed the animal. God made the coat, not them. There was never a sacrifice made by them. The only one that we see in history from the start to the middle of the book, and then categorized in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, was Abel. He was the only one that offered one. My goodness. So, they were both informed. Okay, here's what God said for us to do. He wants us to give a sacrifice. He wants us to put it on an altar. He wants to let a fire consume it, and so that the smell comes up before him. They were informed, both Cain and Abel was informed of exactly what God expected. Just like you're being told exactly what everybody else is being told in here today. You're hearing it, but let me tell you. The difference between dead faith and living faith is this. You don't let dead faith influence you. Dead faith can't do anything for you. There's no influence. Only living faith can do something, can build on your foundation. Dead faith, listen. Dead faith, you're only informed. Cain was informed along with Abel. They were both informed. They were both given the instruction. They both heard it. But living faith will take that, what they heard, their instruction, and do something with it. Dead faith remains informed. Did you know about that? Oh, yeah, I knew about it. Did you know? Did you do anything about it? No, I don't think that was for me. I've had little kids come up to me in the last 35 years that I've been here. And they've said to me, my daddy said he wasn't going to do what you said. I said, oh yeah? That's what he said. My daddy said he wasn't going to do it. So what happened? He was sitting next to somebody that was informed just like he was. But a living faith will take it and say, yes, that's my answer. If I want God to be with me and hold me, I receive his instruction and I do that living faith. Dead faith, you're just informed. You just know about it. When I saw that, I thought, wow, what a difference. What a difference that this truth can be such a power in your life, or you can just know about it. Which you rather have? Sometimes I've questioned myself here, you know, like, my God, am I making it plain enough? Because some of us, we get into situations and we don't know which way to go. Simple things seem hard. And I'm thinking, maybe that's my fault. Maybe, you know, the information should be a little more powerful. The truth that is involved in what you're saying should go, But you see, what you hear at church, regardless of where it is, whether it's here or one of the biggest cathedrals in the United States, whether it's here with a group like ours or in masses, if it stays mere information, you'll never do anything with it. You'll never see the results of it. You'll never see the influence that you could have on other people's lives where God's using you. He's an example. This man is an example. Why did you pick him? Because he's an example, even to today. He's showing us example. He's showing us that when you hear from God and you know it's God, you know it's the truth and an instruction from God. When you do that, then there is a living faith that transpires in you that takes that truth and turns it to power in your life. You see, here's what happens. A dead faith can't believe, though they heard the information. And see, preaching, just like today, is information until it turns to truth inside you. Your acceptance is what turns it to truth. Your listening. Abel listened. He listened. Some of us have been sitting here for 25 or 30 years, and our listening is off. Are you informed? Yes. I know what we believe. I know what we believe. Yes. But can you produce the power that it takes to get the truth where you can see it out here? My God. You see, the scripture says that faith works by love. And it does. But according to John, in 1 John chapter 5, love is obedience to God. If you really love God, he said, if you really love him, you're going to obey him. And therefore, what you hear is not just mere information. It's truth, and that truth turns to power. That when you say, in the name of Jesus, according to the Word of God, it shall be this way and none other. Let me tell you, that kind of information puts you over. And though we have each other, we can do it.
You have been watching Words of Light for Today with Linda Atkins. For prayer or a free CD of today's message, please call 904-289-9727. Visit our website at wordsoflight.org, where you may order explosive and anointed teaching messages or other great resources from our bookstore. Be blessed and join Linda Atkins next time as she brings Words of Light for Today.